Merry Christmas. And I want to invite all of you to our Christmas Eve services. We have three. Josh, I saw you on the news a week ago. Was that awesome? He was on a horse. He's a sheriff. Stand up, man. That was amazing. Stand up. I want him to see you. You're awesome. He's handsome. When I always think I look like him, and then I look in the mirror, and it's like, oh, I'm not Josh. Anyway, we're so glad you are here. I heard a preacher tell a story, and it's a long story. I'm going to try to keep it brief. But basically, he got sick in the middle of the week, and he was as sick as he's ever been. He was really embarrassed because he didn't come out of his fever. He had flu really bad. He was bedridden and all that. And about Saturday night at 6:30, the fever broke. He got better. He felt really good, and he just had this sick feeling that there was something on the calendar that maybe he missed. And then all of a sudden it dawned on him, he did miss something. He remembered that he had a wedding at 6. Now he's at 6:30. So he missed the whole thing. And this was before cell phones. And so the people getting married, they called somebody last second at the chapel they were at, and somebody came and performed the wedding. But he just felt terrible, and he didn't know how he was going to apologize and all of that. And Monday morning, he said he got the worst phone call he's ever received in his life. And he said the secretary walked in and said, Pastor, the mother of the bride is on line one and wants to speak to you. And so he picked up the phone, and she lit into him, and he tried to apologize, but she wouldn't have any of it. And finally, before she hung up, she screamed at him. She screamed at him, "What you did was unforgivable, and I will never, ever, ever forgive you." And she hung up the phone. Now, I heard that. I wonder if anybody has ever said that to you. And I wonder, I hate to say this, if you've ever said that to anybody else. This is what we're talking about today. What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your mind? When I mentioned that line, I'll never forgive you again, did anybody pop into your mind that you're thinking of? Did somebody come to your attention? You're thinking, "Preacher, I don't want to hear any more of this. You've talked 2 weeks on forgiveness. You can't do three." Yeah, I can. I really can. But preacher, you don't know. You've not been where I've been. You've not sat in my seat. You've not slept in my bed. You've not been where I've been. You've not walked in my shoes. You don't know what's been done to me. Well, if you're thinking that, I'm probably touched a nerve. And I want to invite you back to the very first Christmas. And we've been looking these last 3 weeks that the Christmas, the first Christmas, and every Christmas is forgiving. Two words, one word. Yes, it's both. It's for gifts. We're going to be sharing gifts in a couple of days. I hope most of you will share gifts, give gifts, receive gifts. That's always exciting. But on that first Christmas, so much more exciting than getting the gift, God allowed us to receive the greatest gift ever given. We received God's forgiveness. I reminded you last week, the first Christmas, God has called us to take that gift and to pass it on, to give it to somebody else. Somebody needs that gift. And you have the ability and the capability of giving that gift. He longs for you to give that same gift of forgiveness to somebody else. And that raises a question. What happens if you don't forgive? What happens if you make up your mind, "I just cannot do it, preacher. I just refuse"? What does that really do to your relationship with the Creator? What does that do with your relationship to others? What does that mean even with your relationship to yourself? I had a gentleman walk out last week, and he said, "I like the sermon and thank you very much." He said, "The thing you didn't mention is the thing that I struggle with the most is not forgiving other people, it's forgiving myself." And I said, "Well, you got to take all those principles we're talking about, forgiving others, and you got to apply that to yourself. If you're here today and you're behind the bars of bitterness and you're eating a bowl of bitterness for breakfast every single morning, and you'd like to have a change in your life, I want to offer you a Christmas miracle. I want to offer you a breakthrough in your life. If there's something that's missing in your heart and your mind and your soul, it's probably because something is filling that mind, heart, and soul up. And it's probably things like frustration or anger or depression or bitterness. And I want you to have a breakthrough today. I want you to leave here with a Christmas miracle. Make these three life-changing, mind-altering decisions, attitude-changing decisions. Number one in your notes, if you have your notes, and I actually have mine today. I usually forget mine, but here are mine. Don't look too close because you've got to leave a little anticipation out. Number one, remember how God forgives you. That's the biggest key here, is to remember how God forgives you. And I want to review the story we went over last week, and then we're going to get to the second half of the story. There was this, we told the story about a man who owed a debt, and it wasn't any old debt, it was a huge debt. If we took the economy then and we moved it up to today, it equates to about $30 billion. He owed a king $30 billion. Now, this is a story that Jesus is telling. So it didn't actually happen, but he's telling a story, and he's trying to draw spiritual principles out of the story for his audience and for us even today. So a man owed a king $30 billion. It was an unpayable debt. Nobody could do that. It was an unforgivable debt. And in the laws of those days, the king had every right to put that man, including his whole family, into prison. The servant owed a debt he could not pay, and the king paid a debt he did not owe. Why did he do it? He did it out of grace. Pure grace. There was something in his heart. He had compassion. And he set him free. He forgave him. And everybody within miles took a big gasp. They couldn't believe it. He took that debt and he turned it into a personal loan. He paid the loan off. He tears up the note. He throws it away. And he sets the man free, gives him a complete clean slate. I mean, it'd make a great, wonderful Hollywood movie, a real tearjerker. But we didn't read the second half of the story. The story turns on a dime. Jesus tells us something that a lot of us wouldn't expect, because this story takes a turn, and what happens is this guy goes out and he finds somebody that owes him some money, and he ruthlessly demands full payment. In fact, it's much worse for that. He's not really looking for payment. He's looking for punishment. And so I want to reread a little bit of last week, and then we'll read some more text. Matthew chapter 18, verse 27. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him. This is the guy we were talking about last week. Forgave him the debt. Verse 28, but that slave went out. It's the very next verse. There's no pause. There's nothing in between. That slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, which basically, if we bring it into today's economy, that's about $15,000. And he seized him and began to choke him. Are you tracking? Here's a guy who owes an insurmountable, unpayable debt. He's completely forgiven. And he goes out and finds a guy that owes him $15,000. And he grabs him by the throat. He begins to choke him and says, "You owe me, you owe me. I want my money now." Verse 29. So his fellow slaves, his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, I will repay you." But that's what the first guy did to the king, which is ridiculous because you can't pay $30 billion. He says, I "Have patience with me, I'll repay you." It should have sounded familiar, but he was unwilling, and he went through him and threw him into prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. And then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt." So the king is now talking to the first guy. "I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" I mean, you got to try to wrap your mind around it. 30 billion. And he finds a guy that owes him 100 denarii. And he grabs him and says, if you don't pay me, I'm gonna have you tossed in prison. So not only is he ungrateful, he's unreasonable. And I know most of you, I can tell by looking at you, you're intelligent. Think about this. It makes no sense how a man is forgiven this large sum. He was going to be thrown in prison. His family was going to be destroyed. He was going to go to jail, but he's set free. And now he finds a guy that owes him $15,000. And he grabs him and says, you're gonna pay me or I'm going to have you tossed in jail yourself. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. By the way, how is he going to get his money if he throws the man in jail? What's that guy going to do in jail? Sell magazines to the other inmates? How's he going to make up the debt? It's crazy. It's because, listen, he's eaten up on the inside with something. Anger. We're using the word bitterness. There's something going on inside that he doesn't even understand. He's not only not helping that man out, but he's not even helping himself out. It doesn't make any sense. You say, what's the point? Bitterness doesn't make any sense. Carrying a grudge doesn't make any sense. It's kind of stupid. We're going to find out about that. Forgiven $30 billion and you make a guy pay you $15,000 or you're going to have him tossed in jail. What could have happened and what should have happened was this man forgiven the $30 billion and he walks up on this guy and the guy's like, oh, I know who you are. I owe you $15,000. Oh, I'm so sorry. Be patient with me. Give me time. I will pay you back. And the guy that had just been forgiven $30 billion should have said something like, are you kidding me, man? Are you kidding me? You don't know what just happened to me. I just won the lottery. I just hit the biggest jackpot anybody's ever hit. I owed the king. Anybody know the king? We all know the king. I owed the king $30 billion, and he was about to throw me away and my entire family, but he decided out of compassion to forgive me, and he set me free. And you owe me $15,000. Brother, I don't know how to tell you this, but $15,000 next to $30 billion is chump. Change. It's nothing. Forget about it. Have a great day. Have a great week. Merry Christmas. That's what he should have done. But instead, he grabs him by the throat and says, you pay me, or you pay me now, or you're going to jail. You say, how could that happen? I'm going to tell you how that happens. When you demand payment for somebody that's done something wrong against you, and you say, I'm not going to forgive you. I'm your worst enemy until we get justice. Till everything is even. It's easy to get in that spot when you don't remember how you have been forgiven by God Himself. It's easy to get there. If you forget what God's done for you. I asked you last week to fill out a contract. I don't know if you did. I'm not going to ask. I'm afraid. I forgive. Write their name down. So-and-so for fill in that blank, what they did. They, them, him, her, he, she, the company, the church, whatever it is. I forgive. How can you do that? Because you remember that he's forgiven you. If you can't make that contract and you can't do that, odds are you have forgotten what he's done for you. You say, preacher, should I forgive anybody of whatever they did, anything, everything? Yes. Yes. Why? Simple answer. Because God has forgiven me and God has forgiven you. There's no need not to. Your gratitude for what God has done to you, and with you, and in you, and your attitude towards what God has done for you is going to be tied in directly on how you forgive others. And you'll have a perspective of, hey, I've been forgiven of $30 billion debt. And here's somebody that they did me wrong and they owe me $15,000. But I am able and willing to forgive that debt. When you compare, you say, what are you getting at? When you compare your sin debt to God, when you compare what you've done, and it's part of the problem because we modern day American Christians, we don't think we've ever done anything wrong against God. The three-car garage, what are you talking about? We just have no concept of what we've done against Him. But if you could get there and see how much He's really forgiven you, you'd realize anything else anybody does against you, it's chump change. I heard a preacher make this great statement. I will never stay mad with anyone unless that person treats me worse than I've treated Jesus Christ. That's why we hold grudges. We stay bitter. We stay angry with people because we forget what He did to forgive us. That's one of the reasons we changed our name to Cross City. We never want to stop talking about the cross. We don't want anyone to ever forget the price that He paid on the cross, the pain that He went through, the suffering that He experienced. He shed His blood for all the sins of the world, before, during His lifetime, and all the sins in the future. Think of all the sins that have not even yet been committed. He died for all of those sins. He paid an incredible price. And we have a tendency to forget that. We have a tendency to forget what it took God to forgive us. Let me tell you this. If you stay focused all the time on that person who has done something against you, they've done something wrong, and you stay focused on that, and that's what you wake up with, and that's what you spend your day with, and that's what you go to bed with, I'm telling you, you will forget what God has done for you. God is saying, you have no right to expect me to forgive you, and then for you not to forgive others. And so maybe you're here today and this is sinking in a little bit, and maybe some of you are here today and you still got your arms folded and you're living in an ocean of bitterness and you're saying, preacher, you just don't get what I've been through. You don't know what's happened to me. I'm going to hold on to that grudge. I'm not going to forgive that person. I'm telling you, it is signed, sealed, and delivered in blood. I'm just not going to do it. Preacher, you don't understand. You can yell, you can scream, you can illustrate, you can do whatever you want, but you do not know how I've been violated. You don't know what I've gone through. I just can't do it. I can't do it. If that's you, one of two things is true about you. This is fact. This is Bible. If you can't do that, one or two things is true about you. Number one, you don't remember how God has forgiven you. Or number two, I believe you've never truly ever received His forgiveness in your own life. You may think you have, but you haven't. If you're holding on to that bitterness, if you're holding on to that grudge, you either don't remember how He's forgiven you, or you've never truly received God's forgiveness. You see, forgiveness experienced from God. If you've gone through that, forgiveness experienced from God, that must become forgiveness expressed to others. That's what that becomes. It may take a season or two, but forgiveness given by God to you has to turn, and it will turn into forgiveness expressed to others all around you. And if you'll do that first thing, You remember how he's forgiven you. The second step's a lot easier. Just resolve to forgive others. In fact, you won't help yourself. You'll have to. Resolve to forgive others. We read in that 31st verse, when this fellow slave saw what happened, they were deeply grieved, and they reported to the Lord. And summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave." This is the king. Remember who the king is in the story? The king says, "I forgave you. I forgave you $30 billion because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have mercy on your fellow slave who owes you $15,000? The same way I had mercy on you." Watch what happens. And his Lord moved with anger. The king moved with anger. That's a picture of, he moved with anger and handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed to him. It's an amazing story, and it could have and should have had a happy ending. This guy gets forgiven, and he goes and forgives the other guy. He says, "Man, the king forgave me, I forgive you," and everybody lives happily ever after. Just pass on what you receive. I tell people, I've mentioned it many, many, many times, but we as Christians, we are basically conduits. God is pouring stuff into our life if we're true Jesus followers, and our whole purpose for being on this planet is just to let it come in and flow out and express that to other people. If you've experienced what God has really done in your heart and life, it will be an expression to everyone in your circle. Now, Jesus could have told this story a little differently. He could have had a big time lapse in there. Maybe that would have made a little more sense to some of us, where the man's forgiven $30 billion, and he goes and has a great summer, and then in the autumn he meets a guy that owes him the money, and he's really, really upset. But that's not how he tells the story. The story basically goes, by the time the guy gets to the door, he's forgiven, he gets up, he's set free. But by the time he gets to the door, he's looking for the guy that owes him chump change. Doesn't make a lot of sense. You ever wonder why God lets somebody treat you poorly? You ever wonder how God would allow that to happen? And you think, I didn't deserve that. I'm doing the right thing here. All I've ever done to this person was be good. I've been encouraging, I've been kind, I've been generous, and they turn around and kick me in the teeth. You ever wonder why God lets that happen? Listen to this. I believe this very wholeheartedly. One of the most effective ways God continues to remind us of how he has forgiven us is just to let somebody get in a position where they need to be forgiven by you. God is saying every time somebody messes up, every time our bitter meter goes up, every time our anger shoots up, every time we shake our fist and say down deep in our heart, "You're going to pay. You're going to pay for what you did, you big fat jerk." God is whispering to us, "Remember, remember how I forgave you. Remember how I forgave you? Don't forget." I love Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "Be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted." Oh, this ought to be the theme of your life. Forgiving each other. And this last few words are as important as the first few words. "Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." I don't know how Jesus could be any plainer or clearer with that verse that Paul wrote. We're to forgive the same way that he has forgiven us. Now, if I haven't made all of you uncomfortable or ticked you off yet, give me one more chance, okay? I got one more shot at you. I want to ask you a few questions, and you can raise your hand, if you don't mind. I'd love to see some hands go up, and just a few little questions here, okay? Maybe a little pop quiz like in school. Do you ever ask God to forgive you of something that you've done against him or his word, ever? Do you ever ask God to, okay, all right, that's a lot of us. And by the way, if you didn't hold your hand up, you're going to have to ask God to forgive you for not holding your hand up. There's several hundred of you who... Let me ask you another question. And I'm going to get mine up before you. How many of you think between now and the time that you die, you're going to have to ask God for forgiveness again? Yeah, a little few more hands went up that time. And yet, is there still someone in your life you're thinking, I just can't, it's the crime. Oh, preacher, you don't know. I don't want to go down that road. I've been so violated. Let me ask you this question. Pop quiz continues. Who do you think is hurting the most because you won't forgive? The answer is you. You say, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. But that's the truth. I mean, if I'm mad at Carol, I'm really mad at you. You've been... And I won't go to her house, and I'm going to let you have it. And boom, I hit myself and knocked myself out. Carol would laugh and say, you're stupid. Because that is stupid. But when you're holding this in, and you're so mad at somebody else, you're the one that winds up getting hurt. Let me think about this. You're bitter towards somebody. You're angry for what they've done. And you go to bed at night and you're thinking and wishing all these terrible things upon that person. Guess what? I've got some good news and bad news for you. That person is sleeping like a baby. They're not even thinking of you. They're sleeping like a baby. They don't know you're bitter. They don't know you're hurting. You're hurting. And guess who the next group is closest to you that gets hurt? It's your family. They get dragged along with it. The people who are closest to you. Because you know what bitterness does? It leaks. It spills over. And all that stuff inside of you that you have against that person, and you think you're taking it out on them, and they're sleeping like a baby. You're hurting yourself, your friends, your family, your coworkers. You're hurting everyone in your circle. I can't tell you the number of times I've had some critics, and it's never ending in ministry. It just is never ending. And even here at Cross City for all these years, I've been able to get to some of these people and have conversations with them. And most of the time I sit down with them and we get down to the bottom of it. I would say 95 to 99% of the time, their real problem wasn't even me. It was something else. I just kind of got in the way. I'm kind of an easy target. And that's what happens. You ever wonder why your marriage maybe isn't what you thought it would be? Why there's too much angst? Why your kids sometimes don't want to be around you? I'll tell you, if that's the case, it's because of your rotten, stinking bitterness. You think it's going to hurt somebody else, and all it does is hurt you and those closest to you. Let me ask you this. Who do you think forgiveness truly benefits? The answer, and you ought to write this down, is the one who does the forgiving. It's not the one that is forgiven. Oh yeah, that's a blessing. But the real blessing is the one who does the forgiving. The primary beneficiary of forgiveness is not the one who is forgiven, but the one who is forgiving. In other words, it benefits you. The one who hurts the most is the one who is not willing to forgive. That's why that 34th verse said, "The Lord moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed." That guy who was set free is now going back to prison. And the Lord links these two things together, I think, in a very creative way, because I believe this, that unforgiving people, they always wind up in a prison that they build themselves. Probably more than a few folks walked in here today, and I won't ask you to raise your hand, but you're living in a prison of anger, of guilt, depression, bitterness. Job, great verse in Job chapter 21, it says, "Some people stay healthy until the day they die. Others have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts." I mean, the surefire way not to be fulfilled, not to be happy, is to be bitter. And you hurt yourself. And you hurt those around you. He got hurt, he's back in prison. His wife got hurt. His kids got hurt. They no longer have a husband. They no longer have a father, no provider. And whose fault was it? It was all his own. He could have been set free. He was set free, but he could not forgive. And so if you'll do number one and you'll do number two, number three will just come naturally. But here's the third step. Refuse to meet God with a bitter spirit. I mean, if you want to get out behind the bars of bitterness, you're tired of sleepless nights, you have a troubled conscience, you have some emotional health issues, maybe a depressed spirit, you're always angry. Some of you can't even enjoy the holiday. It's just not a good time for you. Let me tell you, you should refuse to approach God with a bitter spirit. Verse 35, we read this, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." In other words, if you get this, God is going to do the same thing to you that you do to others. And God is not going to do the thing to you that you don't do to others. It reminds me of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, verse 12, and Jesus said, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." Whoa, there's some sort of spiritual parallel here. I got to do what he's doing to me and vice versa. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I don't get all my debts forgiven if I don't forgive those who have that owe me. I got to forgive. By the way, that's the only line in the entire Lord's Prayer that the Lord goes back and addresses a second time, because he really wants to make this clear. Two verses later, he says in Matthew 6, verse 14, "If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Again, I don't know how he could be any more clear. Verse 15, "If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Wow. I mean, I wish I could make this easier for you to, you know, digest. I wish I could put some whipped cream and a little cherry on top, you know, some chocolate little shavings, you know. But it's pretty clear. 2 plus 2 is 4. If you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. Now, I gotta clear this up a little bit. Jesus was saying that, but he also was not saying, because we have the rest of the New Testament, he was not saying that you get forgiven by being forgiving. That would mean that we earn our spot into the kingdom, and we don't. It's like the king. It's amazing grace and compassion out of his heart that anybody gets to go to heaven. But I think what he is saying is truly this. Now listen to this. That people who are truly forgiven by God, they will. Now it may take a season or two. Life's a journey. There's a spiritual journey we're all on. But if you are truly forgiven by God, you will become a forgiving person. You can't help it. It is the natural next step. And as we get ready to wrap this up, I have some closing practical thoughts. And some of you, I'm concerned that you're struggling with people, maybe a family member, maybe you've got that brother that you haven't spoken with, or a mom or dad that are alienated to some degree. You've got that kid you're at odds with, or a relative you just have nothing to do with them anymore. I want you to write these things down, just a little review of the all 3 weeks. Number one, go back and remember how God has forgiven you. And here's what that means. You gotta go back and remember all the times you messed up. All the times you violated the code. Every time you sinned against God. How many times have you fallen? How many times do you keep going back to the same problem? It's the same little thing that trips you up almost every time. You think you can keep going back to God saying, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. And you just have no heart to forgive that other person that did something against you? You refuse to do it, and yet you're going to go back every day and go, I'm sorry about what I did again today. You got to remember that. Number two, ask God to give you the power to forgive that person the same way he's forgiven you. God's got amazing power. That's how he can forgive you of all the sin that you've ever committed. He did that on that cross, and he has the ability to give you that power, that spirit. Let it go through you, man. If there's somebody who, ask him for the ability, ask him for the strength, ask him for the power to forgive that person that you're struggling with. I think he'll help you because he wants you to do that. Number three, make up your mind that person is no longer going to be my problem. I mean, sometimes you got to cut strings. If trust has been violated, there are times where you can't go back and try to restore the relationship. We know that. But you can still forgive. And there comes a point where you got to say, hey, I'm not trying to restore everything because so much has been done wrong, but what I can do is let you go, and I'm giving you, you're not my problem anymore. You're God's problem from now on. Romans 12:19 says, do not take revenge, my dear friends. Don't do it. That's not your job. Leave room for God's wrath. Oh, he's got some wrath? Yeah. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Oh, but preacher, you don't know what he did to me. If I forgive him now, he'll get away with it. Nobody gets away with anything. If there's a God in heaven, nobody gets away with anything. And God is saying, I want to make a deal. I want to make a deal with you. If you'll forgive that person and you'll wipe the slate clean and drop the grudge and walk away from the bitterness, I'll take care of it. I give you my word. I'll take care of them. I will repay. I'll take care of it. You got to let it go. Number four, ask God to help you in the long run to forget. Again, this deserves another entire series because we think it's impossible to forget what your ex-wife did or what your ex-husband did or what somebody did to your child at school many years ago. Listen, I understand the difficulty. But I'm telling you, with God's help and God's power, maybe it doesn't leave your mind completely, but you can move forward. You can move ahead. You can move on into life. That's God wants you to look straight ahead. God doesn't want you to keep looking back. You're not going to accomplish much if you just keep looking back. There was an old documentary in 1982. I won't tell you who graduated that year from high school. It was called The Land of Look Behind. It was about Jamaica. And it was about years ago, they had all these slaves, and the slaves would escape and they would head up into these mountains, this area, this mountain region. And they were scared to death because the government would send troops after them. They knew it was just a matter of time before they'd get caught. And they named that mountainous region the Land of Look Behind. The Land of Look Behind. I'm amazed today how many people are living in the Land of Look Behind. When God forgave you, changed you, and cleaned you, and gave you a clean slate, He took you out of the land of look behind. And He put you in the land of look straight ahead. He put everything that everybody's ever done wrong to you, He wants that in the rear view mirror. He wants you looking out that big windshield, never forgetting how He forgave you. I'm telling you, Christmas is forgiving. When Jesus came 2,000 years ago, He was born in that manger. We're going to talk a little about that Christmas Eve. When He lived for you, He died for you on that cross. And 3 days later, He came back to life. He did that so we could all experience His forgiveness. And the reason we're on this planet, as I said last week, is so that we can express that forgiveness to others. We are the light of the world. Those folks who aren't saved, those folks who don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing in them that would cause them to forgive somebody. But you got to get out of the land of look behind, and you got to get in the land of look ahead. And you gotta let that ooze out of you. You gotta share that. You've gotta express that to anybody and everybody you can. I'd like to have you stand right now, and I'm gonna close by saying a prayer. And then after the prayer, we're gonna sing our decision chorus. Trevor and our amazing band's gonna lead us. You sing along the best you can. And if you have any decision to make, be bold, be brave. Don't be bashful. Just come down here. We got people want to help you. We'll pray with you. We'll do anything we can to listen to you, to take on whatever decision you're contemplating. That's why we're here. That's the sole reason why we're here. And I'm gonna not say a prayer. I'm gonna read a prayer to you. It's a lot like my contract last week, but I want you to listen to this and maybe pray it with me. O God in heaven, give me a heart of forgiveness that I may commune with you in the fullness of fellowship, in the fullness of joy, and not experience the chastening that comes when you don't forgive me, because I won't forgive a brother or sister in Christ. May I remember that for everyone that sins against me, I have sinned multiplied times against you, and you have always forgiven me. At no time has any of my sin caused me to forfeit my eternal life. Therefore, no one else's sin should cause them to forfeit my love and my mercy toward them. And Lord, I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, the Christmas baby who lived and died and was raised from the dead for my transgressions. And all God's people said, amen. Let's sing together.